Welcome tonight to our Good Friday service. And this will be a night of reflection and contemplation, even after the service ends, as we remember what happened to Jesus on this night so long ago. Even though many of you, if not all, know this story very well, my prayer is that you ask God to draw near to you, to your heart as He whispers His love and His grace that's displayed in the shedding of His Son's blood and His death. If you've been here the last few weeks, we are in a series. We're concluding the message series titled, I Am, on Sunday. I Am Who I Am is the name that God gave of Himself to Moses to free the slaves in Egypt. And Jesus makes seven I Am statements connecting Himself with God. Part one was, I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Choose more of God the blesser over His blessings you'll receive. Part two, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you have the light that leads to life. And it was a blind man who said, all I know is this, I was blind, but now I see. Part three, I am the gate for the sheep. Those who enter the sheep pen through me will be saved. You see, Jesus is both the gate and the gatekeeper, and He's the only way to heaven. Part four is, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. I know my own sheep and they know me. You see, Jesus is willing to die for us and leave the 99 to come after us, to protect us, to deliver us from the enemy and to carry us on his shoulders when we need to. Part five is, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. You are the branches. Remain in me as I also remain in you. You see, God will do whatever it takes to cause us to bear fruit in our life. Because God loves us, He doesn't leave us where we are. You see, God is more concerned about our character, greater growth, more fruit in our life than He is about our comfort. Part six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, Jesus showed us the way by His life and by His example. Jesus teaches us the truth because He is truth. Jesus gives us life to rescue us from sin. Jesus is trustworthy. He tells us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be anxious. Jesus offers hope. There is enough room in my Father's home, He said. This life isn't all there is. And He's coming back so we can be with Him. Jesus was about to die on a cross, and He says, I am the way. Jesus was about to be condemned by the religious leaders, and He says, I am the truth. And Jesus' lifeless body is about to be placed in a tomb, and He says, I am the life. You see the irony in all those statements. I am. There's a lot of famous people who go by one name, like Adele or Bono or Cher, Drake, Elvis, Fabio, Kanye, Madonna, Oprah, Liberace, right? Prince, Reba, Seal, Sinbad, Sting, and of course, Mr. T. Even historical names like Aristotle, Confucius, right? Plato, and Socrates go by just one name. Christmas Day of 2022, I told you what my name means. Spencer, dispenser of provisions, and Duncan, bronze warrior. So you can continue to address me as bronze warrior who dispenses provisions. But all kidding aside, my name doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of life. We are known by our names. We're known by our nicknames. Sometimes we're named after somebody in the family, Junior, or just a name at random. Our names identify us in a crowd, like Mom or Dad or Grandma or Granddad, that we answer to. And sometimes it's, hey, you buddy, or you over there. Whatever our name is or what we're called by, our names really don't carry that much weight. Even the names of the famous people I just mentioned, they don't carry much weight in the grand scheme of life. They just don't. We see God goes by many names, and one of them is, I am. I am. But there is one name that's above all other names. I bet you know who that is. It's Jesus. The title of my message tonight is, I am He. I am He. It's another name Jesus goes by is, I am He. In John 17, Jesus is praying to His Father that He would be glorified, as well as for His disciples. He's praying for them and for all the believers, right? And that's us. In John chapter 18, as we begin our story, when He had finished praying, Jesus left with His disciples, and He crossed the Kidron Valley, and on the other side there was a garden, and He and His disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed Him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with His disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to Him, went out and He asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am He," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. Verse 6, when Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again He asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am He. You are looking for Me. Then let these men go." This happened so that the words He had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those You gave Me." After Jesus finishes praying, He leaves with His disciples, and they cross the Kidron Valley to an olive grove, a garden. And the Kidron Valley means dusky, gloomy, referring to the dark waters that were often stained by the blood of the temple sacrifices. And it was located between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. See, Jerusalem was filled with thousands of pilgrims attending the Passover. And so Jesus wants to get away from the crowded city. It's still night, but they know the way. In fact, Jesus often goes here to spend time in prayer. Jesus knew what was about to happen to Him, but He went to the garden in obedience to His Father. You see, Jesus wasn't hiding from His enemies, but went to a location He knew that Judas could find Him. Judas does know the place well, as he leads a band of soldiers and officials and chief priests and Pharisees. You see, they didn't come on friendly terms, but to capture a most wanted person, and they brought their weapons. You see, the word detachment or band or company or troop could be translated cohort. In a Roman cohort was a tenth of a legion, and that's 600 soldiers. A tenth of a legion is 600 soldiers. So it's unlikely that, you know, that many soldiers showed up to arrest Jesus, but it sounds like a complete cohort was available if needed. Even though it was a full moon, they brought their torches and their lanterns in case they couldn't find Jesus somewhere in the shadows of this olive grove. The Bible says that Jesus goes out to meet them, perhaps moving from the shadows into the light, since He is the light of the world. And He's not cowering in fear in the dark, awaiting His capture. A key that John, the author, wants us to understand and know is this. This night, when Jesus is going to be arrested, this night hasn't caught Jesus by surprise. He is in full and complete control. Jesus said earlier in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily." Well, then Jesus then asks who they're looking for. So the soldiers, they don't grab one of the disciples. And they replied, "Jesus of Nazareth." They've come to arrest one man, right? They're simply following orders. And standing there with them is Judas. And Jesus responds to them, "I am he." Jesus is not just a simple man. He is the God-man. He's the Word who was with God, was God, and became flesh. And when they heard Jesus say, "I am he," they fell to the ground. Jesus used the divine name, "I am," that same voice that spoke the world into existence, and it knocked them off their feet. The Jews present would recognize this "I am" statement as deity. The Romans who were there as well were made aware that Jesus was in command, and they fell down. You see, we really don't know what made them fall to the ground. But it could have been Jesus' glorious majesty that overpowered them, or it was a display of divine power. The point isn't really how it happened, but why it happened. You see, they didn't fall forward, yielding themselves before him in worship. Their collapse revealed that Jesus isn't being arrested out of his weakness, but confirms he was in complete control of this night. If you think about it, Jesus could have struck them dead. Or Jesus could have made his escape because his captors are on the ground. But Jesus didn't do any of that. He isn't running away from the divine appointment, the cross. The good shepherd willingly lays his life down for the sheep, and Jesus is ready to obey God, his Father. Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" Possibly to get closer to their consciences, right? Do you really want to do this? And as they get back up, they gave the same answers before that's on the arrest warrant, right? "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he," Jesus tells them again. "So let these men go free." You see, Jesus was still looking out for his disciples. And in saying that, Jesus fulfilled what he said earlier in John 6:39, that he hadn't lost any the Father had given him. When Jesus spoke the words, "I am he," they fell over. You could say that Jesus' words packed a punch. And since Jesus is truth, he will always tell you the truth. Once again, Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. "I am he." Do you believe him? Because you get to choose. As I said last week, he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. Jesus asked for his friends to be set free. He is the one that will pay the price for humanity's sin. And Jesus will step into your life and will intervene and protect you. And Jesus is the one who paid the price for your sins. Jesus' enemies were repulsed and they fell backward because of him, while Jesus steps forward and protects his own, his followers. Again, the point to remember tonight is this: Jesus was in full control of this, of his arrest. He was in control. He allowed them to arrest him. He willingly was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He said nothing in defense at the mockery of a trial, and he forgave them as they crucified him on that tree. What's so significant about Jesus' name? I am He. You see, Jesus again is identifying with His Father when God told Moses, I am that I am. I'm sending you to deliver my people from Egypt's slavery. Now Jesus in the garden, the I am He, is sent to deliver you from the slavery of your sin. And Jesus did that by willingly going to the cross to die for you. Jesus endured the crown of thorns and the whipping of His flesh and the shedding of His blood and being nailed to a tree for you. It seems strange to call this day Good Friday because it wasn't a Good Friday for Jesus. But that's the very reason why Jesus came, to give His life for you. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. Jesus, I am He, is the only one who can reconcile you with God. Jesus gave His life to purchase your freedom from sin. That's how much Jesus loves you. That's why Jesus went to the cross. You see, that night in the garden was not just any ordinary night. One commentator said it this way, Eden was the garden of disobedience and sin, way back in Genesis. Gethsemane was the garden of obedience and submission. That's our story tonight. And heaven shall be the eternal garden of delight and satisfaction to God's glory. Heaven, there will be no more death and no more curse. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it whiter than snow. The Apostle Paul explains it further in Philippians chapter 2. Though He was God, He did not demand or cling to His rights as God. He made Himself nothing. He laid aside His mighty power. He laid aside His glory. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, He obediently humbled Himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised Him up to the heights of heaven and gave Him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus laid aside His power and His glory and He humbled Himself. Then He obediently went to the cross and He died for you. That's why God placed His name above every other name. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Either here, this side of heaven, or in heaven. I am He. Jesus, known worldwide by that name only. When Jesus said, I am He, they drew back and they fell to the ground. And Jesus stands before you today and He declares, I am He. You see, some respond to that matchless name of Jesus and they bend their knee and they declare, You are Lord. You are my Lord. My question tonight is this. What will your response be? Will you bend your knee and confess with your tongue, You are Lord? Others recoil when they hear the name of Jesus. To them, it's often just a curse word. Will you draw back and fall to the ground with a hardened heart? Will you be reconciled to Jesus, or will you recoil away from him? The choice is yours tonight. I am he. Do you believe? I am he. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your truth tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that night in the garden. You weren't hiding. You weren't running away, shirking your responsibility. You faced the opposition because you were obedient to the Father. And Lord, for just a moment tonight, that we would contemplate what this night means. You were arrested. You were beaten. You were put on trial. Then you were crucified. And today we pause. We're so grateful for what you did for us. We're so grateful that you went to the cross willingly and you died for us because you love us. You love each one of us. But we also know that Sunday's coming. And I know that the disciples back then, they didn't understand that their Savior, their teacher was going to be killed. And what are they going to do now? They didn't understand. But you had a plan. You are God. You are the great I am. So as we think about that tonight, we think about what happened to you, we pause. We look into our heart. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, again, it's not being a member of Peace Chapel. It's not a religion that you follow, all these rules. It's none of that. It's not being a good person. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's about recognizing this immense love for you, that he died for you. Your sin, because of your sin, he died for it, and my sin, so that you can have a relationship with God the Father. If you're here tonight, and maybe Good Friday is just another Friday, but tonight the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer. Again, this is not a magic prayer. This is just a prayer, but God hears if you are going to pray this prayer. So as I pray, you pray it in your heart and God will hear your request. Dear Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe that by dying on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt. And you paid for it all by the shedding of your blood. You rose from the grave to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. So today, Jesus, I repent. I turn from my sin. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Tonight, if you said that prayer, there's a little card in the seat back in front of you. It's a response card. As you leave tonight, you just said, I said yes to Jesus. What do I do now? We want to come alongside you and give you a Bible and help you on your way and your journey with the Lord. So I encourage you, if you said that prayer, let us know. We want to come alongside and love on you and to help you in your relationship with Jesus.
prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their plight began to see their chains were loose and they were free. They sang, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. Your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, sing out in praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Just sing, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor. Your name, I bless your name, give you honor, give you praise. You are the Lord, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name.
Your name.
I bless. bless your name. I bless your name.
We all bless your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Duane. Go ahead and play. Tonight we're going to take communion together as we close this service out. I want to read you the story a little bit. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters called the Praetorium and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick and spit on him and dropped to their knees in mock worship. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and they put on his own clothes on him again, and they led him away to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then, at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling out for the prophet Elijah. And one of them ran and they filled a sponge with sour wine and holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry, and he breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the Roman officers who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." You see, Good Friday is about good news, being reconciled back to God. It's also about remembering. It's a time to reflect, to examine our hearts, and to remember the price that Jesus paid for our sins. What is communion? You see, it's the new covenant version of the Passover meal. It's when we remember that the very Lamb of God was slain in our place for our sin. The cross is a symbol of suffering, of pain, where your sins and my sins were nailed through the flesh of Jesus. The cross is a reminder that someone had to die The cross, again, reconciles us back to God. The cross, although cruel, is actually good news. I'm going to ask the ushers, you would come. We're going to take communion together. Each you grab a bread and a cup. The ushers are going to stand on the front aisle here, facing each other. If you feel led, would want to take communion with us, would you join us? Stand and come and grab the communion and just kind of filter in through the front here. Hold the cup and the bread until everyone's been served. You don't have to be a member of Peace Chapel to take communion, but you do have to be a follower of Jesus. The Bible is very clear. Just kind of filter in through the front here on both sides. We're going to take communion together, and then we'll close with a worship song. Just hold the emblem and the cup. If you need assistance, we can come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're family. We can be close. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is having his Last Supper with his disciples before his death. Then Jesus took bread and he spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. And he broke the bread and he gave it to them and he said these words, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Shall we take the bread together? Hallelujah. And when supper was over, Jesus did the same with the cup. He said, "This cup is poured out for you. Is the new covenant made with my blood." Shall we drink it together? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah.